Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft from Panthers.com, along with my running partner, Brian Strickland, senior writer from Panthers.com. And in studio today, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, Mick Mixon. Mick, great to see you, man.
Good seeing you, Crafty.
I don't get to go on that Beast chicken trick. Dinner circuit like you do all over the place. I'd like to tag along sometime, man. Be your straight man.
You would have loved it last night in Hickory at the Catawba County Hall of Fame banquet, Crafty and Beast Trick. They had this pot. Normally you get the chicken and the green beans, and it's all pretty stock, but they had this pasta with cream sauce and then slices of grilled chicken, and it was unbelievable.
Mick, I haven't eaten. Nice. I haven't eaten, buddy.
How you guys living? Everybody
you don't
okay?
Want to do that. That's dangerous in the studio. Man hadn't eaten. You're talking about food. But anyway.
That's all right.
Do you ever have those days as the voice, Mick, when you just don't want to talk? I mean, like today, I got here 3 hours or so ago, and I text, I emailed, I got on Facebook, exchanged some with a couple of our fans, messages and stuff. But I just didn't talk all day. Do you have those days?
No.
And hopefully today's not one of them.
I have days where I have nothing really to say, but I never have a day when I don't talk or want to talk.
Well, here that is
a content issue.
That is a great segue, Mixon, because we have a lot to talk about.
Good.
There is a lot happening in Bank of America Stadium. Fans, you know, this weekend we just finished up the rookie camp, 3 days, 5 practices. The Panthers draft picks on the field. More about that in a second. But, hey, roster moves are coming fast and furious since this camp. And, Brian, we talked about the fact that this wasn't an exercise. This was a true evaluation. And, Mick, we're calling it the Panthers version of Survivor this weekend.
Oh, good.
Right. Reality TV right here in Bank of America Stadium. And who gets to move on.
Did you catch the Survivor finale Sunday night?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Not a big Survivor.
All right, well, we haven't reached the finale stage with the Panthers by any stretch.
We're just at the beginning.
We are, but this is a big step for the guys that made the next step. Kind of a new reality in the NFL a little bit. Second year we've had the 90-man roster, and thus the second year we've had a mini camp with rookies and tryout guys. Last year we didn't really move on any of those guys. This year a lot of movement along those lines. They liked a lot of the guys they saw. There were some guys out there with NFL experience that they want to take a longer look at, so we've added 8 guys to the 90-man roster out of 36. So those guys did survive in advance. Obviously still a long climb for them. About 1 out of every 3 guys on the roster right now will not be on the roster when the season starts.
And a lot of those names, you know, NFL-wide won't ring a bell. I know locally, Brenton Burson, who was here last year in camp, a local favorite, a local high school product, went to Wofford. And, I mean, set all kind of marks at Wofford for receiving. And, I mean, some other guys. Who else?
You can see the full list at Panthers.com. But, you know, Burson was one of 3 receivers. Fans are always interested in what's going on with the receivers. R.J. Webb from Furman, a South Carolina native, was the other receiver, along with Talib Acaro out of Louisiana Tech. We have a Louisiana Tech quarterback on the roster currently, one of our undrafted rookie free agents, Colby Cameron, who had a good camp as well. A name a lot of people are talking about from this list, Mike, is Lyndon Gaydosh, a defensive tackle from the University of Calgary. I didn't catch any of their games this past season.
Right, but I understand was I the number one pick?
Right.
CFL?
Right.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I wasn't making fun of the University of Calgary there. I was just pointing out I wasn't personally familiar with this guy, but it catches your eye right away that the Hamilton Tiger Cats invested the number one overall pick in the CFL draft last month on him. So, you know, definitely there'll be some eyes on this guy going forward.
Gaydosh was wearing number 91, Crafty, and you would have loved him being a former O-lineman. This dude he looks to have short arms, but extremely powerful and a low COG, the low center of gravity. And you just start noticing him right away. I mean, you don't need to be any professional evaluator of talent to be able to see some of the O-linemen having a real, real hard time with his thrust, his push, his just kind of that first step, and then his ability to move people with his arms. And so it was fun to see Gaydosh get a lot of attention. And then there's Louis Zegbou.
That sounds good to me. Yeah, we need Max Henson, Wisconsin grad, in here to tell us.
We didn't need more Smiths and Jones.
Yeah. He was 97.
That's my only complaint.
The N is silent. So Louis Zegwu from Wisconsin, the defensive end. I can't believe he's listed at around 250, 255 numerically because he's got the frame. I mean, he looked very good on the hoof, almost like a 275-pound defensive lineman. The D-lineman position is going to be very interesting moving forward, especially in the inside.
Well, Mick, as you looked at the camp this week, and we want to talk about some of your impressions from the camp, and I know we're kind of stuck because you don't want to talk about too much scheme, what you're seeing and what you're doing, but one thing we can let out the box is that teams better tighten up their chin straps and get ready because this team's about to get physical.
It definitely looks that way, and it is amazing to see, fellas. I know you guys were out there as well, but these cats come in from all over the country. They've played in all different systems, and yet practice has an ant farm type of a look to it with a lot of synchronicity. Everyone seems to know where to go, when to be there. Coaches rarely, if ever, coach effort. And, no, hey, you get over here. You guys are supposed to be over here. Line up on this line. It's incredibly efficient. And I think that the throwing and catching, there very rarely is a physical misplay. Guys are highly skilled. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I guess the headline story coming out in my mind, beyond the defensive linemen, the young guns that look good at D linemen, would be how this rookie class looks. I mean, Barner caught the ball very, very well on Sunday and looks like a Darren Sproles, a Ray Rice, kind of a
good comparison. Sproles a great comparison.
I'd take either one of those guys.
Yeah. A guy who in space can create some really tough mismatches.
Yeah, not as strong maybe as a Maurice Jones-Drew, but still a low, quick guy that defenses hate to see coming.
Right. As we saw, and I think it was on our Twitter account was a link to the story that they did on Sports Science about Barner, the way he comparisons between him and the other running backs that were in this draft class, and he was off the charts.
He was
in a lot of categories. Besides him, Brian, when you talk about our top draft picks, how did they look to you this weekend?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, I wouldn't say all eyes were on them, but a lot of eyes were on them, and they're the stars of the rookie mini camp, and you know, Barner certainly caught my eye. I watched that Sports Science thing, Mike. I mean, I think he had the third highest score ever on that thing, higher than Arian Foster, for example, an undrafted guy. You know, Barner talked to him some, how he was drafted, but, you know, he felt like, well, I know you talked to him, and he talked about 181 people passing on him, so to speak. And,
yeah, he's got a burn.
He's definitely.
Yeah, he's got his burn on. He is ready to.
He's motivated.
He's motivated on that.
Yeah, and then obviously you start up front. We talked about the team being more physical, and, you know, you got Star and Kaywan out there working together, seeing them running drills together. You can kind of get excited and kind of visualize what a game day will be like come 4 months from now when they're on the field together.
Well, as always on this show, we rely on our fans to send in questions, keep us going. And one comes in here on Facebook, Jason Beard. Mick, do you think Robert Lester, undrafted free agent, is going to make a push for the starting spot at safety this year? I mean, he definitely has a championship pedigree, and that interview's on Panthers.com in case you didn't see it. But, Mick, at the safety position, this guy comes in. I can tell you one thing. For 5 years, he got it in at Alabama in practice. He knows how to practice.
And I think that's the key thing you said, Crafty, for 5 years. He redshirted in 08, so he played all 4 years at Alabama. So his chronological age, his football age, he'll have a maturity to him. 6'2", 210. He has the reputation of being a smart football player, positions himself well in the back end, and then he's also physical. So how long has it been since the Panthers have had that skull crusher, that thumper at safety, that defenses had, or offenses rather, had to really worry about? So, I think he's got – he doesn't have the – maybe the sex appeal of some of the other Alabama defenders that went higher in the draft, but definitely a professional football player prospect.
I'd like to chime in on that, Mike, because I got a chance to talk to Robert and was very impressed. And I mean, he stood out in the rookie camp to me among that group. I mean, we talked about having the number one CFL guy. I think we may have the number one undrafted guy in him. You know, I'm really surprised he was not drafted. I think it was a coup that we were able to bring him in. And I have a story up on Panthers.com where I talked to him, so you can hear what he has to say about his role going forward. for. And also coming later today on the website, a story on Steve Wilks, the defensive backs coach, where he kind of talks about the position group and how he sees them going into, you know, going into OTAs right around the corner. You know, I believe the original question asked, could he start? I think he's a candidate. I mean, it's been established, by the way, if you hadn't heard, that Charles Godfrey's moving to free safety, as he did late last year. He made that shift, and they're going into the season with that thought. And he's established as the starter there. So when you look at strong safety, you know, we brought in Mike Mitchell. You know, you have Lester. You also have DJ Campbell, who started late last season. So it's going to be a great great battle to watch throughout the offseason.
Well, fans want to know about some of these rookies, obviously. Kevin Thompson on Facebook, one of our regular contributors, asked, with the possibility of June's first cuts, I'm seeing Barner earning a starting role as running back with Ginn as return man. Any thoughts on that?
Ginn apparently has a real gift in the return game, just a special knack for doing that. And, you know, Barner looks like he's got the same kind of skill set. So, you know, these guys weren't brought in here to hold a clipboard and go get coffee and donuts. So it makes sense to me. What do you think, BC?
Yeah, I mean, Ginn is a return man. I mean, regardless of what happens June 1st, I mean, he was brought in for that right away. I mean, I think that's something that's kind of his job to lose, especially on kickoffs, if you ask me. Barner's a starting running back. I'm very excited about his potential. We got some pretty talented running backs on the roster. I think we will after June 1st as well. I'm not quite ready to make that leap yet.
I'll just say, with running backs, more is better. Yeah. More is better. Yeah. And when you have a deep crew and competition, and you have to see that across the board, competition being created at a number of spots. I mean, we talked about that free safety, strong safety group and the competition that's going on there, cornerback and nickel. I don't think anybody, I mean, there's very few guys, you know, outside of your real big-time guys that are assured going into this camp that, you know, of a position. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. One more question. Daniel Long on Twitter, how much of an impact are Latu Lele and Short going to have? And I mean, just looking at those guys up close, good looking football players. And I'm gonna tell you, this team has really improved its image getting off the bus. And you know what I mean by that, don't you, Mick?
Yeah, no doubt. If this draft were a stock, this would not be a tech stock. It wouldn't be some kind of sexy IPO. This draft would be blue chip, proven commodities. Get better in the O-line, get better in the D-line. The linebacker, Klein, looks like he'll be able to help right away. Barner, of course, we've talked about him. This draft looks like that it is going to be a long-term good investment for the Carolina Panthers. And I was thinking about coming up the elevator to be with you guys. You know, the shortest way to the quarterback remains right up Mint Street. You can go down, try on left on College, double back. But the best way to do it is to have those D-tackles that can not just – it's like Patton's speech, you know, don't anybody tell me we're holding our position. We're not holding on to anything except the enemy, and then we're on the way to the quarterback to try to sack him. So it's exciting. Yeah.
Well, it's funny, we get a question like that, Brian, and those two are linked.
Yeah.
Is that going to be there? Pretty much their future here,
I mean,
linked
together? Yeah, it's hard to not think about it in those terms. And you had mentioned, you know, position battles. One thing we need to remember is, I mean, that's a position where there'll be a position battle. I mean, we still got Dwan Edwards in the building, you know, thank goodness, who we re-signed. And, you know, it's coming off a great year. So it's not, you know, what their impact's going to be. They're going to be factors. They're going to be in the rotation. We can't even sit here and say the Star and Kwan are going to roll out there on first down in the first game of the season, because you've got Dwan Edwards, and then you'll have, you know, guys behind them trying to work their way into the rotation.
Well, let's before we wrap up here, let's talk about what's next for the Panthers. Obviously, after that rookie camp and these recent signings and a couple cuts as well, mm-hmm. Thomas Kaiser waived on Monday, I believe, and you know, a couple other roster moves. So there are things taking place on the 200 level also. We're back to phase two of the off-season training activities, and then mini camps coming up next month.
It's the last week for phase two. We got a phase three next week, OTA action. People love to hear those three letters.
Mick, are you getting excited? I mean, do you kind of feel football here? I mean, with the on-field activities?
Exactly, Crafty. It was just good to see ball, just to see any kind of drill, any kind of football. on the practice fields at Bank of America Stadium this weekend. And, you know, we have a societal fascination. We have the sporting public has a fascination with the stars. You know, it's a star-driven society, and we want to know about the new. Mm-hmm. But one thing I'm totally curious about is guys that aren't new, nor are they stars, but they could be important cogs. For example, mm-hmm. what about Nelson Rosario? Mm-hmm. Looks like he's got talent. Could he help at tight end? What about Lamont Bryant, a player like that, for example, 6'5 receiver that made some circus catches in practice last year? What about these guys that are kind of flying in there, not really your splashy stories on Panthers.com and on the Pulse, mm-hmm. but guys that are working very hard, and they're excited, too, about the start of minicamp?
Well, the thing about it, Mick, is that, as I said before, breeds competition. And I know in that wide receiver room, tight end room, you name it, there's going to be a lot of competition. And as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. Mick, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys.
We got to cut this off because there's Bojangles downstairs.
Yeah. Dirty Rice.
I know you've been already. We got to get to our Bojangles. It's Mike Kraft on behalf of Brian Strickland, Berkeley Dickens on the board, David Monroe, man in the live stream, and Max and the guys on the road, Greg on the road at Fort Bragg. Hope they have a safe trip back. We will see you right here next week on Panthers.com.